Here in the U.S., it's a season for college applications, but there are thousands of kids with overwhelmed guidance counselors and parents who can't afford high-end college prep, who don't have a clue about the strings to pull to get into college. No one's helping them write essays, carting them to community service jobs or extracurricular activities. And once they get to college, a huge number is dropping out. Bill Simons says the education system in the U.S. needs to change. It needs to track kids starting in elementary school to help them join the workforce, maybe even without going to college. He's director of the Global Pathways Institute at Arizona State University. His research at Harvard led to the groundbreaking 2011 report, Pathways to Prosperity, Meeting the Challenge of Preparing Young Americans for the 21st Century. And he joins us from KJZZ in Tempe, Arizona. Bill, welcome.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
So talk first of all about these stats. They're pretty astonishing. Only 30% of young adults get their bachelor's?
Yeah, the situation is really pretty grim, Robin. You know, the reason we set up the Global Pathways Institute is to promote the ideal that we need to refocus education to help every young person become a successful adult, including achieving economic success. And right now, we're failing more than half of them to reach that goal. It's not just that only 30 to 33% of young adults earn a bachelor's degree by their mid-20s. 40% of the students who go to four-year colleges drop out before they get a degree.
40%?
40%. Wow. Yeah, we have the highest college dropout rate in the world. Another side of this is that if you look at those who actually go through and walk across the stage, 50% of recent college graduates are underemployed. In other words, they have a job, but they're not doing what they really trained for. The classic example might be somebody working at Starbucks. When I was at Harvard, I used to joke that to work at the Starbucks there in Harvard Square, you needed at least a master's degree.
It's true. And you started to your research began. You were someone who worked in business, and you started to see a disconnect there, that there were some graduates, but there were businesses that still needed workers, and they were not meeting.
That's right. We do have a what's often referred to as a skills gap in the United States, which means that businesses are having trouble finding the workers they really want and need to meet the needs of their industry. And a strictly academic preparation doesn't, you know, prepare young people for many of those jobs. The interesting thing is that a number of those fields, lots of jobs are going to be opening up because they're held by aging baby boomers. So there's going to be a lot of openings if young people have the right skills.
Well, you have some suggestions, but as you well know, there are people devoted to getting more people into college, trying to reach these young people I was talking about. They don't have the people helping them write their college essays. They wouldn't even know where to start. There's a huge disconnect in the country between kids who are prepared for college, people who spend a lot of money preparing them for college, and kids who don't even know college opportunities. What do you say about that thinking? Let's get them into colleges. That's the problem.
Well, I agree that we need to increase equity in education. There's no question that our educational system is really tilted towards the most affluent families. Your odds of getting a college degree are much higher if you're in the upper quartile of income than if you're in the bottom quarter. It's just a staggering differential. What I'm saying, though, is that we need a more holistic approach to education and youth development. Rather than say there's only one road to heaven, that the only way to succeed in America is to go to a four-year college, what we need to do is point out, you know, there's a variety of ways to get there, what we call multiple pathways to success. Let's introduce young people to those pathways and help them figure out which one would really work best for them.
Okay, so what you're talking about is a different track of education. Tell us about the European model that you point to.
Okay, well, one good example, a great example, as a matter of fact, is the country of Switzerland. Most of your listeners know that Switzerland is an extremely affluent country. It has a phenomenal set of social programs, universal medical care, et cetera. And in Switzerland, two out of every three high school students leave conventional high school at about 10th grade and go into an apprenticeship program. They train for jobs in more than 200 different industries, and they spend about 3 years doing that. So it's a combination of working in industry plus taking academic courses as well. They actually get paid to be an apprentice. When they're finished with the program, they're very well qualified to go to work. They've had a great education, and it's really the preferred route to success. Now, what's the payoff? They have a higher graduation rate than we do here in the United States, and they have one of the lowest youth unemployment rates in the entire world. So it's a phenomenally successful program.
But, you know, the questions that are raised here, young people were tracked in different ways in high school, and one of the tracks was vocational. It was not as applauded a choice. It was thought that they weren't, quote, good enough for college.
Well, Robin, the reality is that in America today, we are tracking millions of young people into lives of failure and frustration. The reality is if you don't do well in the test scores, you don't do well in the SAT, et cetera, your odds of going to college are very low, if not non-existent. So we have not eliminated tracking in the United States. It's alive and well.
But do you take somebody out of the possibility of being a physicist if you decide in third grade to introduce them to the idea of being a car mechanic?
No, I think you tremendously expand options for them. First of all, let me caution, I am not advocating that any outside adult, whether it's a counselor, a superintendent, or whatever, tell a child that you're going into, you know, this vocational program. That would be wrong, and it's certainly not what we believe in America. What we're saying is let's give kids the choice to do that. And the results are astonishing.
If you're just joining us, we've been speaking with Bill Simons, director of the Global Pathways Institute at Arizona State University. He did groundbreaking research that concluded that higher education in the U.S. is not working for too many young Americans, and that instead of going to college or feeling like failures because they don't, they should be tracked at an early age to either apprentice at a job or go to a vocational school to be prepared for the workforce once they leave high school. It's a challenge to a huge assumption that everyone in America should strive to go to college. And Bill Simons says this thinking is working in other countries, and it's already working in high schools here in the U.S. Bill, give us some examples.
There's a high school known as Minuteman High School in Lexington, Mass., and that's proving every day the phenomenal benefits that come from exposing kids to career pathways. This is a public school, and students can choose to either go to a regional vocational high school, which is what Minuteman is, or their local high school. If they go to Minuteman, they arrive in ninth grade and they go through a career exploratory where they look at all of the different career majors. There's roughly 20 career majors at Minuteman. They spend 3 days in each one. Then they decide which one they want to focus on.
What are some of the majors?
Well, they range all the way from carpentry, plumbing, and culinary arts to engineering and biotech. Graduates of Minuteman have gone to MIT, and others have gone directly into the workforce.
Well, and what about the sociological portion of this? I mean, we celebrate the sociological part of college, that you go and you join a group of young people, that you have experiences on campus that help you evolve and grow up, that even if you're not in a fraternity, you're a part of a fraternal order from there on out. You have a football team you embrace. All of that, we're told, is so valuable. Right now, kids are already cut out of that, but wouldn't this cut them out further?
No, actually, I think it's going to expand opportunities. I think what you have to realize is that many students in high school in America are very bored. They feel that high school is totally irrelevant to what they want to do. They lose interest. They don't learn much, and they're certainly not discovering a pathway forward.
The dropout rate shows that. What's the dropout rate?
Well, it varies by state, but in most states, anywhere from 20 to 30% of kids drop out before they graduate, or they certainly don't graduate on time.
Right.
The other problem, Robin, is that even among those who graduate, about half are not actually college ready. They have a high school diploma, but they don't have the academic skills to succeed in college. Some of those students go to college and take remedial courses, but you don't get credit for those, and you're spending a lot of money trying to learn stuff you should have learned in middle school or high school.
I'm watching a young high schooler who joined the National Guard feel like she really belongs to something. Are you, in fact, saying that your thinking will give young people that sense of belonging? If it's an apprenticeship, they're suddenly part of a company. It will give them that sense of belonging that a college does.
Well, I think it'll give them a pathway to the middle class. And I think one problem we have in this country, which is related to this, is that because we put so much emphasis on four-year college, we've also taken a very elitist view of the labor market. We hold up those jobs that require a four-year degree. We often look down on those that don't require a four-year degree. So let's take carpentry, plumbing, electricians, jobs like that. Many of those people are paid very well, and yet they're seen as, you know, as tradespeople, as somehow second class, not important. Yet as anybody who has a house knows, if you want to repair your house or want to upgrade or renovate it, finding the right person is incredibly important. And if you do, you're going to enjoy benefits for a long time to come.
Yeah.
So I think we have to rethink how we look at the labor market and jobs that are critical to our economy, and yet which somehow we've been demeaning.
And you're actually saying that in the next 20 years or so, we're going to see more of a revolution than we did in the last 400 years because employers aren't looking at GPAs.
That's right. Google, for example, which last year received 2 million applicants. One person joked that Google makes Harvard look like a wide-open community college. It's so difficult to get a job at Google. But Google no longer is interested in what kind of GPA you had in college, if you went to college. That's not part of their job application. But look, I think the reality is that young people are going to start focusing on what will this pathway result for me. If I'm going to end up with $100,000 in debt and not have a job, that's not really a very sensible pathway to go down. And today, many young people are pursuing that. They're going down a pathway that's not going to lead to anything. And we have so many different examples of it. Even at the PhD level, if you have a PhD in history, what kind of a job are you going to be able to get? It's very difficult. Robin, we're advocating a series of reforms that I think would help change the culture of education and lead to a much more productive and effective system. The first one is, let's put a lot more emphasis on career guidance. Let's start talking to kids at a very early age about two ideas. Number one, you can be successful, even if you're living in poverty. You can achieve success in America. That's still possible. And secondly, looking at the range of careers and figuring out which one really excites you. Where do you have the abilities, aptitudes, and interest to really succeed in that career? And then figure out what's the best pathway to go down there.
And how early are you suggesting that kids get talked to?
Well, I would start as early as elementary school. And I think we have to remember that so many students are in the United States are living in poverty. So the idea that you can be successful, that there's a pathway out of poverty, is really a very important and critical message that they need to hear early on. Obviously, you're not going to try to make them decide or encourage them to decide exactly what they want to do at that age, but you start exposing them to the idea. And then you get a lot more specific as time goes on.
Can you give us some examples of what young people are choosing that aren't going to four-year schools, but that are maybe going into apprenticeships through, you know, the Global Pathways Institute, thinking about that? What are some of the careers that have come out of that?
Sure. At Minuteman, a recent graduate who just graduated this year, for example, came right out of Minuteman and got a job at This Old House, the PBS show. So he's working on the set. He's restoring old homes. He's getting paid about $35,000 a year with full benefits. But that's not the end of the story. What he's hoping to do is, after he gets some experience, is go back and get a degree in business management, open his own firm. And if he does that and he's successful, he's easily going to make over $100,000 a year in the Boston area. There's almost unlimited demand for high-quality, honest people doing that kind of work. And he's already on that pathway at the age of 18.
That's something we're trying to get at, this idea that if the whole mantra is go to college, and all the reporting is on how do you get to college, and there's a huge a group of young people that are completely divorced from that and also feeling ashamed about that.
Yeah, that's right. And that's one of the real problems we have in this country. I think we have to get back to the idea that the real goal is not whether you go to college or not, but whether or not you find a life that's going to enable you to be productive and economically successful, at least successful enough to lead a solid middle-class life. That's really what our vision should be, and we should stop focusing so much on that four-year college is the only way to get there.
That's Bill Simons, director of the Global Pathways Institute at Arizona State University, a program that he came up while doing research at Harvard and recognizing how many young people are not going to four-year colleges and therefore not getting on a job path early on. Bill, thanks so much for talking to us about it.
My pleasure.